Welcome to Beach Grass Roots, a monthly program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This month, we're speaking with some of the staff at Oregon Black Pioneers, a statewide historical society focused on uncovering, documenting, and sharing Black history throughout Oregon. Listeners of KMUN will recognize Oregon Black Pioneers and the voice of Zachary Stocks from The Register, a weekly biography of some of Oregon's noted Black historical figures. You can find The Register at kmun.org and anywhere you find podcasts. We will hear first from the Public Programs and Exhibits Manager, Mariah Rocker, followed by Executive Director, Zachary Stocks. But before we hear from them, let's hear a sampling of The Register.
This is The Register, a weekly biography of some of the most noted African-American individuals from Oregon's history. I'm Zachary Stocks. Letitia Carson was an early settler who challenged Oregon's Black exclusion laws to successfully claim a homestead of her own. Dr. DeNorville Unthank was a revered Portland physician and civil rights champion. Hannah Gorman and her daughter, Eliza Gorman, were Benton County's first Black residents and landowners. Mabel Bird was the first Black student at the University of Oregon and was an active campaigner for civil rights in the 1920s. George Fletcher was a legendary cowboy and rodeo performer in the early 20th century. James DePriest was an American conductor who served as the music director for the Oregon Symphony for 23 years. Moses Black Harris was a legendary mountain man who became one of the most sought-after guides of the Overland wagon trains to Oregon in the 1840s. Mary Jane Holmes Shipley Drake was one of Oregon's first African Americans to live nearly their entire life in Oregon and was the matriarch of a large family of early Black residents. William Badger was a Gearhart business owner and the first Black city councilor in Oregon. Louis Lou Alexander Southworth was a freed slave who became a successful business owner and homesteader. Beatrice Morrow Kennedy was one of Oregon's earliest and most successful civil rights champions. Slavery had not yet been outlawed in Oregon, but by 1850, the mother and daughter were listed as free Blacks in the county census while still living in the home of the Thorpes. After his win, DePriest also began to gain acclaim as one of the first African-American conductors of note. Leonard Bernstein tapped him as the assistant conductor of the New York Philharmonic for the 1965-1966 season. Although Oregon was not even a territory yet, the area began to see a steady arrival of American migrants. It was this harassment and the health disparities he saw in his clients that inspired Dr. Unthank to begin his work in civil rights. He became a co-founder of the Portland Urban League and served as president of the Portland NAACP. She used her law experience and her position at The Advocate to highlight thousands of incidents of racial injustice perpetuated by restaurants, hotels, theaters, and schools across the Pacific Northwest. By age 15, George was competing in rodeo competitions. He quickly developed a unique appearance and style of his own that included bright orange chaps and a loose, nonchalant saddle demeanor. In exhibition rides, Fletcher developed routines which dazzled audiences, including buffalo riding or riding tandem with another cowboy facing in opposite directions while on the same horse. Harris helped escort the wagon trains of some of Oregon's first settlers. In 1836, he led missionaries Narcissa and Marcus Whitman and Eliza and Henry Spaulding to the Oregon country. The Register is a co-production of Oregon Black Pioneers and KMUN. Learn more at OregonBlackPioneers.org.
Hi, I'm Mariah Rocker, the Public Programs and Exhibits Manager for Oregon Black Pioneers. I get the distinct opportunity to share the stories of people of African descent throughout Oregon, traveling through the state to give presentations about these experiences, to set up exhibits that dive a little deeper into certain aspects of this experience, and to work with communities throughout the state to ensure that these stories are being told. Oregon has a very complex, dark history in regards to Black people. It was the only state admitted to the Union with a Black exclusion law, and those exclusionary practices began before it was a state and lasted well after that exclusion law was effectively nullified. Nonetheless, Black people have been a part of Oregon's history since non-Native history began in this region. Despite purposeful exclusion, these people built lives for themselves, and not only that, but they contributed to the fabric of Oregon as it is today. These stories should be important to all Oregonians, but especially Black Oregonians. We've been fed a narrative that we don't necessarily belong here, but that's just absolutely incorrect. We do have roots here. These stories have existed here. It's vitally important for these communities to recognize. You know, I personally am all about representation. Whenever I see someone that looks like me doing something that I hadn't ever seen them doing before, it opens up pathways in my mind to understand that these things are possible. Sharing these stories, demonstrating the fact that people have been building their lives here, and also sharing the darker moments, recognizing discrimination, segregation, violence that has been inflicted upon the community in the state as well, helps us to build a better future. We need to recognize what has happened so that we can forge a better future. And starting with history is one of the most important parts of doing that work. For me personally, I've truly seen the impacts of this work with children, especially when working with Black youth here in the state, because I've seen the moments where they're starting to piece together like, oh, what I've heard isn't necessarily correct. And there are actually stories of people that look like me throughout history. You know, there were pioneers like of the Oregon Trail era that looked like me. This is something that's absolutely revered, the idea of the Oregon Trail pioneers. This is a huge part of our state's identity. And yet, you only really see white people depicted, despite the fact that 3% of travelers on the Oregon Trail were Black. It's just important for us all to have this information. You know, we cannot move forward without knowing where we've come from. When I found out about this role, an opportunity to literally talk about Black history and share it with my community, I was over the moon. You know, it was like a dream come true, showing incredible examples of what people have lived through before to inspire those that are here today. Being able to do that as my job is unreal. On top of that, I have an incredible team and a great board of directors to support us, and so many community organizations that we are absolutely beyond grateful to be able to work with, to really share these stories throughout the state. I just honestly feel honored to stand on the shoulders of the people that came before me. Now, of course, the best way for folks to support my organization would be to donate. We are a mostly donation-run organization, you know, without any federal or state funding, though we do have many funding partners that offer us grants that we are super thankful to. We do get a lot of our funds as a nonprofit through individual donors. It also really demonstrates the fact that people are passionate about our mission. But, you know, you don't have to donate to support us. Just showing up to our events or hiring our team for presentations, renting our exhibits, purchasing our books on our website, or one of the most important ways you can support us is to let every and any educator that you know that teaches K through 12, that we have free lesson plans available on our website that you can download for free so that you can incorporate this history without much work on your end. You know, we just want this to be incorporated into the lesson plans of classrooms around the state. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share about the work that my organization is doing. Feel free to follow along at OregonBlackPioneers.org on our Facebook or Instagram pages or our YouTube page, where we post programs like Black History Quest, diving into this history and what it looks like to do the research.
My name is Zachary Stocks. I'm the executive director of Oregon Black Pioneers, which is Oregon's only statewide African-American historical society, and I live here in Astoria.
Could you tell me a little bit more about what that means? What is Oregon Black Pioneers?
So back in 1993, there were a number of community members in Salem that came together to try to address what they saw as a gap in the education system. People were learning all about Oregon's history, but that history that they were learning about very rarely involved people of African descent at all. They formed a group based on a similar group that already existed in Washington State called the Northwest Black Pioneers. And so they created this companion to that. Ever since, our organization has been creating publications, developing exhibits, hosting public programs, generally doing anything that we can do to share with people the stories of people of African descent in every part of Oregon. We're governed by a small board of directors and a smaller staff. Our board of directors is mostly based in the Portland area, and then we have remote staff in Portland and me here on the North Coast. There's three of us on our team, but we have plans to grow. Hopefully we'll be able to also include staff members who live in other parts of the state. For the first three decades of our organization's history, we were really focused primarily in the Salem area. But over the years, we expanded beyond Salem to take a look at the entire Willamette Valley, and then eventually the entire state of Oregon. Today, you can find educational resources that we have developed used in classrooms all over the state. Our exhibits travel throughout Oregon and even into Washington sometimes. We work online to reach people wherever they might be. Our website is a place where people can go to learn about the stories of Oregon's Black history. So no matter where you are, there's material at your fingertips. On our website, you'll be able to find interactive digital exhibits. In some cases, those exhibits are digital companions to physical exhibits that we've installed in museums. There are interactive history maps where you can find places with Black historical significance near you. We have downloadable lesson plans for free. So if you are an educator or someone who just wants to learn more about Black history and maybe have kiddos and you want to do some activities with them, all of that is available for anyone to access. And we have collections as well. We have an object collection where we have some photos, the different physical materials, as well as oral history collections. So you can go and hear the voices of Black community elders. We have a collection of historic photographs, which are physically housed at Portland State University, but anyone can access them. So there's just many different ways that people can find relevant stories in ways that are interesting to them. And it's all free on our website. A couple of years ago, we did a bus tour to bring people from the Portland metro out here to the North Coast. So we rented a very large bus and we drove people to sites with African-American historical significance between Portland and Astoria. We stopped in Westport to take a look at the gravesite of an early Black resident named Lewis Napoleon. And then we came here to Astoria and visited the Fort Astoria Parklet. We went to the Clatsop County Heritage Museum. We went then to Fort Clatsop. Also visited Fort Stevens to talk about York and Moses Williams, respectively. And then we finished in Seaside with discussions about early jazz clubs there. It was a long day, but it was a lot of fun. And we were able to bring 50 people out to Clatsop County who maybe had not spent a lot of time here and certainly hadn't come here thinking about Black history in particular. And I think it was a really great way to showcase the diversity and the rich cultural history of this place that I get to call home with people who I work with or who think about Black history as very concentrated in the Portland area. It's more expansive than that. If we wanted to, we could do trips like that in every county. There really is that depth of Black history throughout the state of Oregon. I think that would be really fun to be able to work with people who are actually residents in those communities to bring out some of those local stories and then share them with their friends and neighbors, as well as people who are just generally interested in Black history. We would never want to go into communities where we're not a part of that community and just say, hey, you all should really care about the Black history that happened here. We want to build relationships because at the end of the day, they are going to be the stewards of those stories, not Oregon Black pioneers. Those are the stories we want them to feel that they have some ownership over. These are their community ancestors. Whether or not they share the same race as those people, these are the people who helped to create the places where they live. And I think that that should be celebrated by people of all races, backgrounds. One thing that we've done really successfully is help with historical markers and other physical commemorations of Black historic sites or historic individuals. We were able to put up a headstone in Burns to honor the Anderson family, two Black couples, a pair of brothers and their spouses. And for about 40 years, the Andersons were the only Black residents in Harney County. And we're talking about one county, right? That's probably the size of Massachusetts. So it's pretty remarkable. I can't even imagine the challenges of living in a place not only that remote, but also at a time, you know, from the 1910s through the 1940s, when Black people really did not have the same level of social and political protections that we have today. It was quite an honor to get to go to this community and be welcomed by local people and work with them to erect a headstone for these Black pioneering family members. Yeah, that was one of my favorites. It was really special. Our mission is to preserve and promote the history of African Americans in Oregon. Sometimes that means introducing people to figures whose names they've never known before. We tend to do that more in rural communities than we do in urban places. In Portland, there's already an established Black community that has been going on for generations now. Individuals who have really shaped the Black Portland experience are lauded and well known. I still think that they are underrepresented in our bigger tellings of Oregon history, but they're known nonetheless. In the rural communities, it's less so. They might be locally familiar to people, but there's not nearly as much attention given to the things that they were able to achieve. One of the key individuals who really exemplifies this for us is a woman named Letitia Carson. Letitia Carson was the first Black person, male or female, to have a land claim in her own name in Oregon, and perhaps even in the United States. We have some more research to do to see if that's actually true. But this is someone who was brought to Oregon enslaved, managed to start a family here, had lands that she was living on taken away from her because of her race and the fact that Black people were not allowed to inherit property. Nonetheless, she persevered. She became a domestic servant, she became a midwife, and was able to bring a lawsuit against the estate of her former white domestic partner, who had promised her that he would make her his sole heir at the time of his death. Because they had made that agreement and it had not been fulfilled, she sued the executor of his estate for back wages for the years of service that she put into his household. And she was successful. An all-white jury ruled in her favor. With that and a settlement she received for the loss of her cattle, she was able to then file a federal homestead claim through the Homestead Act. And that is what allowed her to have land of her own in Douglas County. This is someone I think has great national significance. It's an example of the ways that freedom for former slaves didn't just exist in urban cities in the North. The West afforded opportunities for recently emancipated African Americans as well. And that's not really the way that we talk about the Great Migration. And I think about those kinds of stories when I think of Oregon's Black history, because in so many ways, it's unique from the rest of the nation's Black history. Our community members tend to be found in more remote places, more blue-collar workers, but also had closer working relationships with their white neighbors out of necessity. And so I think there's a lot of learning lessons that can come from that. And I hope that Oregon Black Pioneers in a way can help to shape that conversation so that people even outside of Oregon recognize that there's unique stories that could be told from this part of the country. I wish that we had more time, because honestly, I could talk about that subject for a couple of hours. It's a really in-depth topic to go into Black exclusion laws. There's a lot of debunking that I would have to do, but also the significance of it is something that I think more people should be aware of. I think these stories are important for Oregonians to know, in part to demystify Oregon's contemporary racial demographics. Because the reality is that Black people in Oregon only represent, I believe, 2.3% of the population. It's just over 90,000 Black people in the entire state. There's more Black people in the city of Boston than there are in the whole state of Oregon. And that's kind of weird, right? Considering how there's much larger Black communities in Washington. And in California, it's substantial. So we're sort of this outlier on the West Coast in the fact that there just aren't that many Black people here. I think that white people in particular might hear that fact and assume that it's because Black people don't want to go to Oregon. That's not really the case. There's a long legal, social, and political history of keeping Black people out deliberately. When you look at the trends in population statistics during this Black exclusion era, broadly from 1840 to 1860-ish, you'll see that the pace of the Black population's growth could never match the pace of the white population growth. It didn't parallel. But from 1860 to 1870, you see that the Black population actually grew at a higher rate than the white population overall. Even though it was such a small number comparatively, the rate of population growth outpaced the white population growth. Well, why did that happen? During the period between 1860 and 1870, the Civil War happened and then ended. The Reconstruction Amendments took place, which made all the black exclusion laws in Oregon no longer legally enforceable. Now we suddenly have legal opportunities for black people to come to Oregon for the first time, which hadn't existed in the 10 years prior. And so we see that when black people were given the opportunity to come to Oregon with some measure of civil rights for the first time, they came here at greater rates than white people even came here. Oregon could have been a refuge for black people leaving the South after the Civil War. But the most consequential period of population growth in Oregon history, encompassing the Oregon Trail, the California Gold Rush, the Oregon Donation Land Claim Act, during all of that time when the population here exploded with white people, black people legally couldn't come here. There's never been an opportunity for black people to have that homegrown population, because the most consequential period in Oregon history, we were shut out from that time period. Probably the biggest challenge that we have faced in my time with Oregon Black Pioneers is just sustaining the work itself. We've never had any issue with finding things to talk about. In fact, we learn more about Oregon's Black history every single day. People send us things, we discover new things in books and newspapers and journals. The hard part is being able to pay for our time and effort to be able to share those stories with people. While we can rely on volunteers to do the research, it becomes much more difficult when we then take what we have found and turn it into a historical marker, or turn it into an exhibit, or turn it into a presentation that we can travel around the state and deliver. Even if those are things that we can offer as paid services, it still requires so much of our staff time to be able to do that work. And so we rely really heavily on philanthropy, which is not sustainable. Foundations are fickle, and it's difficult to be able to have plans for the growth of our organization and talk about all the things that we want to do when we're not sure how we're going to pay for it all. And so that is why we are always looking for new ways to be able to create something that's within our control, like walking tours, which has been a really successful thing that we've introduced just in the past year. We took a chance on walking tours last year without ever having done them in the history of Oregon Black Pioneers, which is kind of surprising, and said, let's see if we can develop a unique tour where within a short distance, we can physically guide people from place to place and tell them about the Black history that we see along the way. We did one in Portland. It sold out immediately. Everybody loved it. So we thought, okay, well, Portland's easy. Let's try someplace that's really hard and see if this can actually be a real sustainable program for us. So we went down to Jacksonville in Southern Oregon in Jackson County. Jacksonville has a ton of Black history. Jackson County actually, at the time of Oregon statehood, was the largest Black community in Oregon by a lot. That was a cool site to go to, but it's not a very big place, and Jackson County is a little bit more conservative and doesn't have a super vibrant Black community, a super visible one outside of Medford, Ashland. We tried it out, but that sold out too, and everybody really loved it. So we thought, all right, for 2024, let's see if we can do this on a quarterly basis. So we've scheduled walking tours four times for this year in Astoria, Portland, Eugene, and Oregon City. So far, they have been fantastic. People have really enjoyed their experiences on the tours. We've sold out every time. And it's been a really great way to show locals another side of their town that they had never known about before. And so we're really excited to expand the program even further. And we hope that we'll be able to offer six or maybe even more next year.
So you mentioned funding as being a pretty consistent struggle. If someone right now wanted to find a way to support Oregon Black Pioneers, what would their options be?
The ways that we accept support are through donations on our website. Right now, you know, we're still sort of scrappy. Even though we've been around a long time, we've only had paid staff since 2020. My team and I, we work really hard to try and find new opportunities like this. But in a lot of ways, we're sort of making it up as we go. And I'm glad that we have that flexibility to be nimble in that way. And we're not so limited in a particular space or a particular town that has to occupy all of our attention.
If someone wanted to set up a recurring donation, is that an option that you have?
Yes. Yes, people can make a monthly gift to Oregon Black Pioneers that is automatically withdrawn from their account.
Okay, so what about you? How did you come into this work and why do you stay?
So I was working for the tall ships that come to Astoria from time to time, the Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain. That's the work that brought me to Astoria. And I started looking for different positions. I worked for a private exhibit design firm briefly, but then the pandemic happened. I was laid off from that job. Suddenly I was out of work. It just so happened that a few weeks into the pandemic, Oregon Black Pioneers posted for their executive director job. Nobody was really hiring during the pandemic. I don't know if you remember, 2020. They had, the organization had already received grant funds to hire their first ever executive director. And so they decided to proceed anyway. And I jumped on it. I mean, I was looking for work and it was relevant for me as someone who is a public historian and had previously learned many of the stories that now I interpret every day at Oregon Black Pioneers, because I had earlier worked as the front of house manager at the Northwest African American Museum in Seattle. So it really felt like one of those divine moments. It seems like this was the perfect opportunity for me. We were all working remotely when work could be done, and it was easy for me to work from my home office here in Astoria for this Salem-based nonprofit. And I've been really grateful that I've been able to stay here, even as we've opened up and opened an office in Portland now. I'm still the outlier of the whole team being in the Portland metro and me out here on the North Coast. I try my best to be as involved in arts and cultural activities where I can. So I have helped to contribute to local projects here, working with Clatsop County Historical Society, both through Oregon Black Pioneers and not. And also I was a park ranger for a couple of seasons at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. Yeah, I very much feel like I've found the perfect place that matches both my personal passions and also my professional areas of expertise. I don't know if I could do that quite as successfully anywhere else than here. One thing that I always plug is that people can contribute to the work that we do at Oregon Black Pioneers by sending us information. So much of what we know because somebody told us something. Even if they didn't know the full story themselves, they could give us a lead that allowed us to then look further into what they had referenced. If anyone listening to this knows about a early Black business that maybe they heard about from a relative or know them themselves, or if they came across a photograph of, a group of people and it includes a Black man or woman in it, even those little things can be really helpful for us. And sometimes we can even identify, what those businesses were, who those people were. We're doing our best to sort of create a registry, if you will, of the Black men and women who were part of Oregon's early communities. And any evidence that we can find, just to say that we were there, right, goes a long way in helping to demonstrate the breadth of Oregon's Black heritage. Anything that you know, anything that you can share, photos, documents, if it's related to Black people in Oregon, particularly before 1950, we want to know about it.
And how can people find out more about you? Where are you on the internet?
We're on the socials. You can find us at OregonBlackPioneers.org. You could find us on Instagram at OregonBlackPioneers. We're at Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. And you can probably see me in town if you hang out at breweries or you do a lot of cooking and spend time at the grocery store.
Perfect. You're just asking people to find you in the store.
It happens all the time, actually.
It does. Thank you to Zachary and Mariah for joining us on this month's episode of Beach Grassroots, a monthly program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This program is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emma Geddes. To hear past and future episodes, find Beach Grassroots wherever you find podcasts. We also broadcast new episodes on KMUN the second Thursday of every month at 9 a.m. KMUN is a local, independent, non-commercial radio station. We are volunteer-powered and community-funded. To support our work, including this program, you can donate any amount, anytime, at kmun.org. Beach Grassroots is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. More information about Change for Community and the nonprofits it benefits can be found online at astoria.coop.